show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for the freaks and geeks.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Monday, September 15th. This is your first time listening to Technorama. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. And I'm Craig Stepp, and without me, is that right, is Chuck Tomasi, who's not with us. Or me. Anyway, this show, I wanted to do a kind of a special show about Dragon Con. I've never been to Dragon Con. Okay, you can take away a couple of geek points for that. And that's a problem, because, you know, I've focused my energy in going to the podcast expos in the years past, which, you know, that has been well worth it. No question there. And the reason I go is to really interact with everybody and kind of hang out and talk to all the other podcasters and geek out about podcasting or whatever, you know, about anything. And of course, me and Chuck have had our excursions to the Computer History Museum and those kind of things at the Star Trek Experience and whatnot. It's been a lot of fun. However, the last time we went to the Podcast Expo in Las Vegas, I think I felt a little disconnected, a little spread out. Didn't know where quite everybody was at, you know, after the show each day. And everything was kind of spread out. Like, again, it felt disconnected. And looking at the reasons I go was to hang out with everybody. It's simple as that. Dragon Con's really literally in my backyard. I mean, it's a 4-hour drive from where I live. And I think it would be a little cheaper and probably a little more fulfilling if I went to Dragon Con this year. So I thought I'd do a little research. While everybody was in Atlanta, I sent a tweet out looking for on-the-moment point of view. I said, what do y'all do? I was trying to get, you know, what are you doing right now on Dragon Con, and put that out as a little show, which would have been fun. But I didn't get immediate responses as I thought. But however, what I did get was about 5 people that called in with a more, their experiences, good, bad, and ugly, at Dragon Con. More good, I think, than anything. So this is kind of field research. How about that? Field research. Should I go next year? I think I might. So first up, let's talk to Mr. Command Line from the Command Line Podcast.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. This is Thomas from the Command Line Podcast over at thecommandline.net. After recuperating for the past few days, I thought I would call in with an update on Dragon Con, one of the largest science fiction conventions anywhere. It's definitely up there with San Diego Comic-Con and Worldcon for the celebrities that it draws, the content that it offers, and the overall experience. It's held each year in Atlanta, Georgia, so it's definitely the premier science fiction event here on the East Coast. The biggest complaint, speaking of size, last year was the crowding. The addition of a 4th hotel this year, the Sheraton, definitely helped that. Also, many of the celebrity panels were broadcast for the first time through the closed-circuit system that links all the hotels together, the Dragon Con TV program. This is the brainchild of Brian Richardson, also of What the Cast. By way of example, between the wife and I, we saw, I think, 6 celebrity panels with all of the stars of Battlestar Galactica and Firefly, and it was almost as good as making your way through the tremendous crowds in the Hyatt, where most of the main programming takes place. And we also had a nice kind of quiet mini party the last night of the con, Sunday night, with a few other podcasting friends in the suite watching The Masquerade, one of the highlights this year, emceed by Star Trek's Ethan Phillips. That's Neelix, for those who don't recognize the actor's name. And riffed on it, much like Riff Tracks or Cinematic Titanic, finding much humor in his almost abject terror of the wild and crazy costumes that make their way through that wonderful event. Far and away, I spent the majority of my time at the podcasting track, one of many programming tracks available at DragonCon, mostly because I've volunteered there for the past 2 years and enjoy very much doing so. One thing that I noted, especially since you guys recently released your wrap-up of the New Media Expo, is that DragonCon compares favorably to that event. I noticed that a common criticism about the NME was the discussion of money and leverage, and there were people still talking about those particular complaints coming into the podcasting track at DragonCon. Fortunately, as much as DragonCon is becoming a bigger draw specifically for podcasters, it's had a dedicated track to that for 3 years now, and it just keeps growing. There was very little discussion of those sorts of issues of monetizing and marketing brands and the like. Really, the focus in the podcast programming was on the live shows, especially the fan shows like the Scapecast and the Signal, but also general entertainment shows like Geek Radio Daily and What the Cast. There are still some good panels, not as much as there were the first year, but still some remain that are focused in on the nuts and bolts of how to go about podcasting or improving your podcast. So it's a good draw for new podcasters or people looking to improve their audio or content production. Also, unlike the NME, DragonCon is one price admission. Your membership, your badge, gets you access to everything from the dealer rooms to all of the programming, not just the podcasting track, but all of the media title specific and themed programming that they have. And there's maybe two or three dozen specific tracks, full top to bottom, all 3-4 days with all kinds of wonderful programming. So a lot of good stuff to choose from. On the social side, the parties were pretty good this year. Most tracks traditionally at DragonCon have their own parties. So pick a night. And in particular, one of the panels we caught was with Edward James Olmos. This was his first science fiction convention ever, let alone his first DragonCon. And he talked about the tremendous party hosted by the staff and organizers of the Battlestar Galactica track at DragonCon this year. There were literally hundreds of people there, and it sounded like it was an absolute blast. And each track really targets their own thing, gets together, and does a unique party. And you could almost go to DragonCon and do nothing but go to the parties, and you'd have a solid good time. That's not even counting the room parties that are a fixture of science fiction conventions of all sizes. There are many unofficial parties that are held as well by people that just want to host their friends. And given the fact that it's in 4 hotels, that's plenty of suites for people to rent out and do their own thing. The podcast parties were hosted in the Hyatt this year by Evo of PodioBooks.com and his lovely wife, Sheila, and they did a fantastic job. Everybody had a great time. We, in particular, the wife and I, enjoyed the earlier half of both the Friday and Saturday night parties when things were a bit quieter. Last year, both nights were absolutely crazy, and it was very difficult to really make the acquaintance or renew the acquaintance of people there. This year, it was a little bit easier, but as I'm told, because we're fuddy-duddies and we left around midnight, later on in the wee-wee hours, things got a little bit crazy. So the nice thing is that you could get whatever you were looking to get out of those parties in particular just by timing when you went, or being patient if you were looking for a crazy party and showed up a little earlier. If you don't like science fiction, and let's face it, why would you go to a science fiction convention? Well, DragonCon actually has a lot of other things to offer beyond that. So one of the things that I in particular enjoy about this as a techie, there's the podcasting track, of course, which I've mentioned, where you can meet many podcasters and fans of podcasts out there and talk about this subject endlessly. On our track alone, we had people from Canada, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Australia, Brazil, and I believe other places besides. There's also outside of the podcasting track is a non-genre track. There are some great tracks like the science track, the space track, my personal favorite, the electronic frontiers track, and new this year, a skeptics track that drew some amazing high-profile skeptical thinkers, including but not limited to Dr. Michael Shermer, the amazing Randy himself, James Randy, Rich Saunders, Jeff Wag, DJ Grothy, Phil Plate, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm really looking for that to take off after such an auspicious start this year, next year, and the years beyond that. The EFF and Science Tracks even co-sponsored a pretty crazy party that I unfortunately didn't make it out to, but it sounded like an absolute blast. They called it their Mad Scientist Ball, and the main attraction there was the singing Tesla coils, which I actually had seen before live, which I really encourage you, if you get the opportunity to see it firsthand, the YouTube videos do not do it justice. So if you come to Dragon Con next year, hopefully those guys will be back, and that would be a beautiful opportunity if you're in the area to get to see those amazing 6-foot arcs of electricity pounding out 8-bit video game themes. You really should consider coming next year if you haven't in the past. Hopefully I've enticed you and your listeners to do so. And I absolutely look forward to seeing both of you, Chuck and Craig, there next year.
Thanks, Thomas. It does sound interesting. And especially when you were talking about the EFF and the science track, because that in itself is so much more to offer than just podcasting. And the thing about the NME and, not, I mean, that's what it's for. When you go into the show floor, it's vendors. You know, there's nothing other than you're talking about podcasting the whole time. This sounds a little more down my alley. So thanks, Thomas. And with that, let's move along to Ginger Campbell of the Brain Science Podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ginger Campbell from the Brain Science Podcast and Books and Ideas. I went to Dragon Con to promote the Brain Science Podcast. But I have to say that the highlight was getting to meet so many of the cast and crew of Buffy Between the Lines. We stayed up until 3 a.m. on Friday night rehearsing for both the live Buffy Between the Lines episode and Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. But it was great fun. Lots more fun than staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning working as an ER doctor, which is how I make my living. I think that the live Buffy Between the Lines podcast went okay, but Dr. Horrible was totally awesome. It was really exciting to see the line wrapped all the way around the atrium level of the Marriott. They said that there was 500 people in line. Clay was incredible as Dr. Horrible. Now when I watch the video, I see both him and Brian, who was also great as Captain Hammer, especially that scene where Captain Hammer was bashing Dr. Horrible's head on the van. They mimed that. It was just incredibly funny. And let's not forget Kim, who was also wonderful as Penny. I hope that someone has a video of the entire show. I got to play the mayor, and my only complaint is that they turned off the lights in the middle of my scene, just as I was about to introduce Captain Hammer. But I did post the video that Kinsey made for me on Facebook. Thanks, Kinsey. I'm telling all my friends that Dr. Horrible is the next Rocky Horror Picture Show because it's just so much fun to sing to. Because we did two shows of Dr. Horrible, it took till about 2 a.m. to finish the second show. By Monday, I was really exhausted, and I don't think I was at my best for my brain science panel Monday afternoon. But it was totally worth it because I got a chance to be part of something really special. And I hope I will see everyone, including Emma, again next year.
And thanks, Ginger. And you know, it's funny you were talking about Dr. Hammer. You were talking about Dr. Horrible turning into a Rocky Horror Picture Show type following, because that's exactly what I said to JT, I think, over at the Gigcast the day after I watched Dr. Horrible. I was like, you know, I could totally see people throwing bread and, you know, doing the whole... was it the rice and all that kind of stuff at Rocky Horror Picture Show during Dr. Hammer? Dr. Hammer. Did it again. Dr. Horrible. So anyway, we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll come back with, oh yeah, the encaffeinated one from the award-winning The Weird Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ooh, yi, yi.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, things are all rancid.
was it past the expiration date?
Would you like shipping instructions with that?
Lickety splickety snappity working just fine.
Chuck and Craig on Technorama. What is it with these guys?
It's all done.
All right, so here we are. We're back with listening to all of our Dragon Con stories from the select podcasters that decided to send something in. And here is our beloved, the Encaffeinated One, who, if you've been a listener of the show, he is no stranger to you, and hopefully he's no stranger to your iPod either, because he is the award-winning, Parsec award-winning, that is, host from The Weird Show.
Dragon Con was 4 days long. No, that's not right. Dragon Con was 4 months long. No, that's not right either. Dragon Con was 4 minutes long. That sort of temporal warping happened as soon as I arrived, really. I mean, I arrived kind of normally after driving for ever. My first Dragon Con, I was pretty excited. I had no real idea what to expect. And I arrived, then went over to register, and I knew I was in for something big. There were a lot of people online, and I was early. I was fairly early, at least I thought so, but I think some of the people had been there in line for an hour before anybody else had shown up. And we got processed through the line, you know, in an hour and a half or something, which didn't seem like it was all that long, really. I guess also anticipation and excitement had built at that point. I was to experience a lot of lines over that next four, whatever time periods they were. But none of the lines felt all that long because, you know what? There was always something interesting to look at. People in costume everywhere. People that you knew. I met a lot of people that I knew, except I'd never actually met them before. And that was crazy. But a lot was jammed into those few days. I tried to attend a lot of panels, and I did attend a lot of panels, but there were always other panels that I could have attended. And there were also times when I just said, look, I need to sit and have something to eat. I mean, I hadn't eaten anything since breakfast. It was 9 o'clock at night. But 9 o'clock was not the end, of course. Every night was a little bit later, perhaps, and I could have gone forever. Because there were so many people that I met, and so many people I knew, and so many things to look at. I don't know how I could sum up my impressions of Dragon Con other than to say it was one heck of a good time. I mean, here was a place where a lot of people who are not that different from me gathered together to openly and joyously celebrate just being interested in odd things and interested in unusual things and interested in quirky things and in amazing things. Everything from stories to movies to TV to ideas to comic books. Just an amazing exploration. And that was worth more than I ever expected. And I'm glad for it, and I'll be going back again next year. I don't care how long it takes me to drive. It was just plain cool. Although next year, I think I'm going to try to cut down on the number of tracks that I go to, the number of panels. I mean, out of the 38 tracks, when I originally looked at the list, I said, I'm in trouble because there are at least 20 of these that I can immediately say that I want to go attend something from. I don't think I attended all 20 of those, or all 38 of all of them, but I went to a lot. And also next year, I want to go to a few less panels simply because I want to have more time to hang out with the friends that I've met and the friends that I've made and the friends that I already had. I took a video camera with me. First time really doing anything major with a video camera, but I figured this is probably a good experience that I'm going to want to record. And I did, although I regret not recording nearly as much as I could have or taking nearly as many pictures. But that first day, I had an experience which kind of labeled it all for me. And it will be the experience to kind of sum this all up. some friends had arrived by plane, and they'd come in, and they wanted to go and check through the line. I went and stood in line with them for a little while, but when they went inside to do the rest of the line stuff, I said, well, I don't really need to go in there. I'll hang out here and take some pictures. So I did. I grabbed my camera. I started running along the line just to document the length of the line, because that alone was pretty amazing to me. I mean, there are more people attending this convention. This is my through line for the whole thing. There are more people attending this convention than living in my hometown here. And that's pretty stunning, because we don't all get together in the same place either. But I went running up the line, just kind of taking pictures. People were waving and hooping and hollering and making statements to the camera and having a generally good time. I came to the end of the line finally, and I asked the person there, and I said, look, you know, you're at the end of the line. Is this your first Dragon Con? No, this is not my first Dragon Con. I think it was her fifth. And I said, what keeps you coming back from year to year? What's so new? What's so exciting? And she said, well, I come back to see all my friends. Wow. Yeah, that's why I'm going to keep going back. I mean, all the other stuff, that's pretty awesome too. But yeah, getting a chance to hang around with people that, you know, sometimes you meet people you've met online and there's a distance. You don't know them. And then there are times like these where you're all in a place where you know them because you know everybody here, practically. And that's what it felt like. That was great. The day after the convention, I was driving home. And I gotta say, it was the weirdest shock. Not because there were all kinds of weird people in the streets. No, that had become normal over those last 4 days. 4 days? 4 months? 4 hours? Whatever they were. That had become normal. So that when I finally did drive out, and there were just everyday average people on the streets, and not that many of them, I knew it was over, but I knew I had been here during something unbelievably spectacular. Yeah, I'm going back next year. This is Mark the Encaffeinated One, Encaff One just about everywhere, host of The Weird Show, which you can find at theweirdshow.com. And these are my Dragon Con 2008 memories.
And he pretty much sums up why I go to the podcast expos, to hang out with my friends and see people that, you know, yeah, we Twitter and we email or listen to their shows. But it's a lot of fun to see them in person. And you know what? So far, 3 out of 3, I'm pretty much sold now. So anyway, let's move on with Susie, the Southern Geek. I'm a Southern Geek too, so what does that make? Anyway, and she is from How to Grow Your Geek, the podcast that I would highly recommend to anybody trying to, as kids, they want to turn into a geek. So here we go. Take it away, Susie.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Susie the Southern Geek from the How to Grow Your Geek podcast. And I just wanted to send in a few of my thoughts about my recent trip to Dragon Con, because I had a really awesome time. Now, this was not my first trip to Dragon Con. I've been a couple of times in the past, especially since moving to Atlanta. That made it a lot easier to go down. But this is my first time going as a podcaster and attending the podcasting panels and actually meeting up with people there. Because usually it's just been me and my husband going and watching the panels with all the guests. And this was a really special experience this year, going to meet up with friends I really didn't know I had, because the podcasting world kind of opens you up to meeting or getting to know a lot of people that maybe you haven't met in person by listening to the podcast in your ear. And so there's a lot of people out there that you know a lot about that you've never met in person. And it was really great to go and meet up with fellow podcasters and folks from Farpoint Media and all these other places, and realize how much we had in common. And not just that we're, you know, fans of fantasy or sci-fi or whatever the thing was you were there at Dragon Con to see. It was really neat because we had so many shared interests and experiences and so many fun things to talk about. You know, we already had kind of an intro to each other. And it was absolutely an added dimension on top of just the fun of going to a convention. Because it's great fun to go to Dragon Con and to see the guests from the shows and movies that come. Personally, if I were a sci-fi or fantasy actor, I would think I was crazy if I didn't go to Dragon Con, because that's a chance for your fans to really come and tell you thank you for your work. And, you know, we try to be polite. We try not to be too nutty. But it looks like the guests that are there are having an absolute ball. And on top of that, you know, we're enjoying hearing all of their stories from behind the scenes. Plus, we get to see all of these wonderful costumes and all of these people who just let it all hang out, whether they should or not. And it's just a lot of fun to go and to be geeks, you know, and actually not feel strange about being in the place. And it's so fun. It's so enjoyable. Everybody that I met and talked to was so nice, because you already know you have some stuff in common with all the people there. So you can strike up a conversation with just about anyone. Now, the downside to Dragon Con is the crowd, and the parking and walking and stuff like that. But those are fairly minor compared to the fun you can have, all of the different things you can do. I mean, as far as conventions go, Dragon Con is my personal favorite because it is run by fans, it is well attended by fans, and the guests that come really seem to come because they want to, not just because they get compensated for it. And guests who come tend to bring fellow guests with them the next year. Like Aaron Douglas from Battlestar Galactica this year talked Edward James Olmos and Michael Hogan into coming. And, you know, those are pretty high-level stars that don't have to come to conventions if they don't want to. And they came and had an absolute blast. So I personally love Dragon Con. I would go every year and stay there the whole time if I absolutely could. Unfortunately, I have family duties to attend to, so this year I was a commuter, and I drove in for three of the days. But that was fine, too, because there was a lot of stuff to do during the day, and then I could go home and sleep in my own bed at night. But I had a really great time at Dragon Con, and I look forward to meeting more of y'all there. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Good. And you know what? I like that how she used y'all in the at the end of that. So y'all take note. Anyway, so yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And especially if you live right there. Here again, I'm only 4 hours away. It's not that big of a stretch to actually drive down there. So I think she pretty much summed it up why some of the reasons I should go down there. Because I love interacting with anybody that listens to the show or even shows that I listen to. And that was funny. We were talking about the first year we went to the podcast expo. Chuck was walking around that. It was a meet and greet party that they opened up the podcast expo with. And Chuck was walking around with the blindfold so he could recognize everybody by their voices and not by what they look like. It's kind of funny. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. When I come back, we're going to close it out with Brian Richardson. He's the producer of Dragon Con TV and What the Cast. We'll be right back.
These are... 101 unsigned integer. Technorama, 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 Technorama. Technorama, Chuck and Craig, 101 high five.
The Technorama, you make me be sedated. The Technorama, the
Technorama, use Technorama, 101, 101, 101.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
All right, and we're back. And I'm gonna open this up to Brian Richardson. He's the producer here again of Dragon Con TV and What the Cast. And apparently they had a pretty good live show from what I've heard. I think Thomas was telling me about that and some other people. If you haven't checked out their show, do so. And I'll have links to all these shows in the show notes. Of course, you know where those at. Those are chuckchat.com/technorama. And take it away, Brian.
Hey kids, it's Brian Richardson, videography director for Dragon Con and producer of Dragon Con TV and What the Cat. How many dings is that? Oh, that's three. Three dings. Ding, ding, ding. Wanted to put a little note in for your post-Dragon Con 2008 report. As videography director and DragonCon TV guy, I want to thank everybody who showed up at the convention, and fans make DragonCon good, so thanks to all the fans who made DragonCon good this year. I thought we had a good time. I thought that the convention made a good effort to spread out the convention across the four host hotels. So you had to walk a little bit more, but at least we weren't as crowded everywhere as we were in years past. Hopefully everybody's going to show up again for DragonCon 2009. If you missed any of our DragonCon TV bits, then download those comedy bits at DragonConTV.com. They are free for the taking, including our bonus clip this year, which is the entire DragonCon 2008 parade with my hopefully humorous commentary. If you need highlights from the convention panels and such, stay tuned to the DragonCon store, and you can get them on the upcoming DVD. Thanks a lot, guys, and keep on talking.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. So, well, there you go. I think with my field research complete, and of course, whatever I've seen other people talk about in Twitter and everything about DragonCon, I think it's pretty much a win-win for me. So I think I'm probably going to focus on trying to go next year. And please don't misread me. I think what they do with the New Media Expo, the Podcast Expo, I think it's really good. The tracks are good. Got some really good speakers. So don't get me wrong. I'm not hammering on them per se. I just think the move to Las Vegas didn't quite set with some of the grassroots people that want to be there and talk, you know, interact with other podcasters to a large degree, especially with trying to organize some after-hour stuff. But, and like I said, here again, I'm not trying to hammer on them as much as I am trying to look for something that maybe fits for me a little bit more. And it sounds like DragonCon may be it. So anyway, I'd love to get your opinion too, as a listener, anybody that else has been to DragonCon. Call me up, and I'll make another feedback DragonCon show if you want. If you want to share your experiences, you can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. And you can email Chuck and I at technorama@chuckchat.com or visit the website at chuckchat.com. And I also want to thank all of our podcasters that did call in. That's Thomas over at the command line, Ginger Campbell of the Brain Science Podcast, the Encaffeinated One of the Weird Show. And I want to say it was nice to hang out with Mark for a little bit. He came up through Charlotte, and we had dinner one night. It was loads of fun just to sit there and talk to him. And here again, the great thing about Twitter and the social network we can arrange stuff like that. It's really cool. It's all about podcasting. It's awesome. And Susie, the Southern Geek from How to Grow Your Geek, and Brian Richardson of What the Cast, and like I said, the producer of DragonCon TV. I also want to thank Mad Mar for continuing to add blog content on the website. So if you're not catching any of that, be sure to subscribe to the Chuck Chat Technorama site into a regular feed reader so you can catch all those news. And don't forget, this show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. And if you're getting this show by clicking on the website and listening, consider subscribing to get this show automatically delivered to you for free. No cost whatsoever. And there is no bills or anything. You just go download it. You can drop either Chuck and I an email at technorama@chuckchat.com if you need some help and more information on how to do that. So be sure to tell everybody about Technorama, your neighbor's dog, anybody that you want to listen to it, and to everybody that called in, and all you listeners, a big binary high five, 101.
Buford?
Buford, yeah.
I just rebuilt it.
Ah, looks good.
His motor system is 0.01 milliseconds faster than the finest Omega build.
I don't mean anything by this, but is there any particular reason why he's black?
Sure. I wanted him to be perfect.